The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel. John testified further, saying, 'I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him.' I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. We are still lingering in the Gospels with John the Baptist here, announcing that the kingdom of God is at hand. So let me look at this and wonder with you how we bring this into the present moment. It seems so very distant from us, but in fact, when we reflect on it, we'll find that it's very much present in our day. If you look biblically at the history of the Jewish people, they are sustained by a firm conviction that the Messiah will come. This conviction holds them together and carries them in hope. The Messiah will come. They're expecting a strong Messiah, a powerful Messiah, one that will relieve them of the yoke of the Roman Empire, to restore the temple to its full dignity, a powerful worldly Messiah. And so the first followers of Jesus will follow the miracle worker. They will expect him to triumph over the world as a powerful leader who will set the people of Israel free at last. And John announces, "The kingdom of God is at hand now." And so they will come to John the Baptist thinking that they're about to witness the messianic moment, the moment that will lift them up into a new understanding of who they are and a new sense of freedom. And John the Baptist points out Jesus, "He is among you. He is one of you. This is the Lamb of God." And the Lamb of God among them will not conquer the dragon. He will convert the dragon. The one among you will be rejected. He will be judged. He will be set aside. The one among you will suffer. He will die, and then he will rise from the dead and conquer the world. Not by power. He'll conquer the world by love, by forgiveness, by understanding, by compassion, by patience, by including people, by carrying people's crosses, by sharing in the burdens and the challenges and the pains of life. The one who will be part of the journey of life. The one who will convert the dragon. What does this mean to us today? Some years ago, I took an interest in reading recent history. And after the Second World War, we had the Marshall Plan, which spawned an unprecedented prosperity in our country, and the rebuilding of Europe. And yet, with all of this outreach of power and restoration and rebuilding, there was a very significant body of artists and people in the world of drama that did not trust the world. They were so disillusioned with the violence and destruction, the ignominy of war, that they didn't trust the meaning of life. They didn't look for recovery. They came to be called the theater of the absurd. Absurdus in Latin means deaf. Surdus means deaf. Absurdus means when you act out of deafness, you're absurd. Audire in Latin means to listen. Ob audire, to be obedient, means you act out of listening. When you act out of deafness, you're absurd. They were called the theater of the absurd. And two of them, I took special interest in two of them because they won Nobel Prizes. One was Samuel Beckett, who was an eccentric Irish genius, and his most familiar work would be Waiting for Godot. And some of you will remember Waiting for Godot. These two men who were kind of tramps, Faldemir and Estragon, they're waiting for Godot. They're very close friends. They don't know who he is, they don't know what he's like, and they don't know where they're going to meet him, but they're staying here. And they talk, and they laugh, and they fight, and they exchange hats, and they have a drink together, and he doesn't come today. So they come back again tomorrow. It's the absurdity of it. And the second one was Camus, Albert Camus, who wrote the myth of Sisyphus. Remember in Greek mythology, Sisyphus was that man who rolls the rock up the hill and it comes down, and he rolls it up the hill and it comes down. It's the absurdity, the banality, the emptiness, the poverty of meaning in life. And this was a very powerful gathering of literary geniuses. But they're not depressed. They said, that's life. Life is absurd. There is no meaning to life. The only meaning is what I can connect with right now, I can understand, and I can absorb right now. That's the only meaning in life. And that's the way they go through life. That's the way they understand life after the Great War. How does this relate to us today? Today we live in a culture of enormous prosperity. And yet every 12 minutes in our country, somebody commits suicide. We have an enormous homeless crisis in the midst of our prosperity. We have a crisis at the border, even though we are rich in the things of the world. We have a drug crisis, where people are escaping from the banality, the overwhelming emptiness of this world in which we live, and they escape into drugs, into alcohol, to escape the restlessness, the emptiness, the poverty of everything they see around them. I know that much of it is pathological, but nonetheless, it's real and it's present and it's in our families. It belongs to our households. It's an escape from the overwhelming darkness of life. Robert Coles speaks about the moral loneliness of our culture. Even though we're more connected with technology today, We have more loneliness in our society. People don't touch one another. They don't feel. They communicate technologically, but the connection isn't there. The face, the feeling, the touch, it's missing. Even in our families, we have a moral loneliness, which is not just being alone, but the feeling of being disconnected. Where shall I go in my time of crisis? Where will I go when I'm losing hope in life? Can I go to my parents? Can I go to my brother and my sister? Can I go to my church? Can I go to our leaders? Who can I trust? Can I trust the church in my moral loneliness? When I feel left out, when I don't fit, I don't please, I don't perform, I don't excel, I feel like a failure in life, where will I go in my crisis of moral loneliness, in the emptiness of my life? Where will I go? And who tells the truth today? Are we caught in a crisis, a culture of crisis, of Faustian bargains, where Faust makes a deal with Mephistopheles? He sells his soul to the devil. He's not short of riches in his life, but he wants more. He wants more power, he wants more riches, and he sells his soul to the devil, and he loses who he is. He escapes the challenges of the world. It's a Faustian bargain. And I wonder in this day and age if we're not caught in community and maybe in church and maybe in our country in making Faustian bargains. We must win. And this crisis will not be solved because the market gets to be 29,000. A crisis will not be solved because we have political triumph. It won't be solved because we make more money or we become more prominent or more successful. It's a crisis of the soul. Something deep inside of us. We can escape. We can escape through drugs, through alcohol. We can escape becoming too busy to face the reality of our lives. We can escape through selfishness. We can escape through making a Faustian bargain. We can escape by many ways in which the world will invite us to bury the crisis, to deny the emptiness, to wonder if we live in a post-Christian era. And then we listen to the word of God and listen to the voice of John the Baptist saying, "There is the Lamb of God. There is Jesus Christ who overcame the world, not with worldly power, but the power of the kingdom of God." It's a new kingdom. It's not a kingdom of prosperity, of power, of success, of popularity. It's a kingdom of the spirit. It's a kingdom of the soul. It's a kingdom that I will celebrate in my life when I heal, when I touch, when I forgive, when I welcome, when I am compassionate, generous, understanding, then we know the kingdom of God is at hand. So listen to the word of God. Resist the absurdity of the world. And listen, there is the Lamb of God.